Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm JP here alongside Allison Sinclair with all the drill and popcorn and everything on the table.
I had to hang a picture.
She's literally hanging stuff on the wall during the breaks.
I don't know if I measured correctly. And I was using a power tool, which is probably frightening for some of our listeners.
833-687-4448. That is the text line number. We have some texts that came in. Kim from Danville says, trying to bring charges against M. Kelly. Maybe it's not that Republicans don't do it right. Maybe it's because all of these wacko judges. I think it's both.
It's not an either or. It's a both and.
Because I think all the wacko judges, you're under much more of a microscope, and they're going to pick anything, even if it's something that is not illegal, like how Trump appointed the new U.S. attorney in that district to bring charges against Letitia James and James Comey, even though that is not inherently illegal, like they're going to find an issue wherever they can find an issue. So all I'm saying is all the Republicans, if they're going to go about holding these people accountable like they should, just please, as much as you can, do it to where they can't find something. The Democrat activist judges can't find something to find an issue with. That's all I'm asking.
It's like when somebody's accused, you know, they're accusing you of spying. I wasn't spying. I was surveilling. Yes. There's a difference. It's always.
It's a technicality.
It's semantics. Which words matter?
Let's see here. Brad from Crimestone County. He said, well, we were talking earlier about the Second Amendment and if there were to be a crumbling of the republic, would the Muslims or Marxists or communists take over or all the above? He said there were some states that got to the point of thinking that they just couldn't even with their central government, and they tried to leave peaceably, but the central government came after them, guns and cannons, insisting that those states were breaking the law by seceding. Of course, I'm talking about the American War for Independence. Oh, did you think I was talking about something else? I see what he did there.
It's pretty good.
Sean from Oakmont, like I said earlier, that the rednecks would win in that scenario. I believe that's all of our texts that we got right now. 833-687-4448 is the text line number. Once again, if you want to text in and let us know your thoughts.
You want to do serious or funny?
I mean, I have a funny montage if we want to go to that. It's up to you.
This was, we need to do it at some point today because it was really last night going through the Twitter feeds. Like, we have lost our minds. That's funny. But we have Paul Feinbaum / Dale Jackson news to cover.
Yeah.
Yes. Fox News has quotes from Dale Jackson. It's pretty good.
It is good.
It's pretty good. And what else do we have? We've got Thanksgiving trivia.
We have Thanksgiving trivia.
Collins, my daughter, is going to come in.
Nice.
So she's a junior at a public high school in Alabama. And I haven't told her this, but we're going to ask her to tell us the Thanksgiving story.
We're going to put the public schooling to the test on air.
And we're going to see what she comes up with.
I like it.
I think it's going to be interesting. It might be different than what you learned, and it probably will be very different than what I learned.
Yeah. Well, she's going to come in and say, well, of course, the white colonizers came in and destroyed the Indian community. And Thanksgiving is just a remembrance of how the Indian race was wiped out from American or North America by these colonizers.
All right. Not a betting person, but I bet you're right. There'll be something of that in there.
Probably.
I say do funny.
Okay.
Let's do something because it's funny, but not funny.
Well,
but it's funny.
The bit on when Phil was on the show was Adventures in Woke World. I think this is along the same lines, Adventures in Craziness. I think you just sent so many funny, crazy clips of people just being crazy that we needed a special montage just for the craziness.
I think it's good.
Okay.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's see. All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
We go. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy one.
I love to overcharge white people and organizations and do pro bono work for black orgs. And then I'll have like a nonprofit or a black org or somebody doing some work and they'll be like, I've only got this much money. And I'm like, keep it. A white person just cut me a check. Let's do this for free.
That's crazy.
We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. We've already tried that. It is racist, it is immoral, it is unholy, and it is not the way to drive violence down.
What?
I hate being in my 20s. I hate going to work. I don't want a job. I don't want to work. I hate not working. I hate everything. I hate breathing. I hate sleeping. I hate waking up. I just hate everything. I hate our president. I hate the world. I hate people. I hate everything. What is, like, I just hate everything. I hate everyone. I hate everything and I hate everyone. And I don't do this.
Stop it. Get some help.
Talking about abortion makes many people profoundly uncomfortable. I can also attest that I felt God's presence with me as I made the decision to end two pregnancies. And I felt no guilt, no shame, no sin.
Go away, Satan.
I think as an organizer and as an activist, like, we really have an opportunity here in this country to talk about what type of policy, progressive policies we want to see as young women. And I think we have, as birther, you know, as women who can give birth, men and women who can give birth. We could maybe leverage that as collective bargaining. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
It seems a little much.
That's pretty... JP, you're a producing genius. That is so good. That needs to go on our socials.
I think it does.
I think that's really good. And I love the background music.
Yes.
I think we just have gotten to a place that I cannot believe... People sit and watch that and go, yes, girl, you preach. I agree with you. Yes. I mean, we have jumped the shark, moved to the ridiculous, where people are openly saying, I charge white people more. And then I give legal advice to black people free. Can you imagine what world, even 30 years ago, that would have been acceptable?
No.
And even if you're doing it, don't say it out loud. But now we're at a place where that's celebrated. Although the guy to her right or left looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
I did.
That? Yeah. But that's where we are.
So, and also the last lady who said that men can't give birth, she's actually running for Congress in Tennessee. And I believe Nashville's district. And that was a phone call from 2020 that is now coming to light while she's running for Congress, of her saying that birthers, aka both men and women, and also part of it was that we needed to use this as plausible, or no, she said as leverage or something like that. I don't even know what she was talking about. But the lady who was doing the interview when the congressional candidate asked her, what do you think about that? And she goes, I think that's a bit much.
Her name's Afton, because it's so embarrassing that she's from Tennessee.
Yeah, that's your neck of the woods.
Yeah, she's in the legislature, the Tennessee legislature now.
Afton Bain?
Yeah, and she keeps talking about, there's a recording of her on a podcast talking about how much she hates Nashville. She hates all the honky-tonk. She hates all the bachelorette parties. She hates the entire city. She hates country music, and this is who she represents.
And then she actually came back out and said, I actually don't hate all that.
Joke. She talked about defunding the police back in the day. She gonna lose bigly. Bigly.
There's also the clip of that pastor, the woman pastor, who said that she felt God with her. And this is a bit more of a heavier what the heck one, of a woman pastor saying that she felt God's presence when she had her two abortions. I don't think that was God.
No, that was an evil spirit. Deceiving you. She is in the pulpit with a Planned Parenthood, not robe. What are those little things called? Ribbon.
Ribbon, I guess. It's probably not the correct
term.
It's
like a stole, like a
yeah.
Sash.
Yeah.
No, what's it called? She's obviously like Episcopalian.
I think anyway, she is Episcopalian.
Little thing. And people say, yeah, you're right. God was with you as you murdered that child. Okay. My favorite is the 20-something girl with the nose ring.
Mm-hmm.
The, what's it called? Like the septum something?
The bulldog ring.
Yeah. I hate going to sleep. I hate waking up. I hate working. I hate not working. I hate my life. I just hate everything. I hate. Miserable. And it makes me nervous because she's not the exception. In that generation, your generation, probably a little bit younger. You maybe were on the cusp of it. I still see, like, you're my son's age. y'all are like the last graduating class that had any semblance of normal to it, in my opinion. And then the numbers just dwindle.
Yeah.
Well, like, y'all could have grown up in the 80s and survived.
Yeah. I feel like I kind of grew up like just a year or two ahead of kind of the craziness. I know enough of it because I experienced it, but also my junior year was COVID in high school. So I did get half of my year taken away from me. And then my senior year was like 50-50, like half the kids come, the rest half is in virtual. So I experienced some of the wackiness, but I think Gen Z is just extremely polarized. I think we got a lot of the generation going back to church because the wackiness of Gen Z in terms of what our generation has gone through with the wokeness, COVID, everybody being, you know, canceled for having any sort of thought, everything just so liberal to a T, it makes you miserable. And half of Gen Z decided to go back to God, and then the other half just decided to crumble and give up and do what like Septum Ring Girl did and just, I hate everything, nihilism, everything's pointless, worthless. But like I said, I think not all hope is lost because there is parts of the generation that is going back to church as a coping mechanism for that.
Absolutely.
But also, the crazies of my generation are still out there and are still struggling. I pray for them. I feel bad for them, but it is kind of funny as well. If you're going to go on there and say, I hate everything. Yeah.
But it's encouraging to watch y'all because they finally pushed y'all far enough that you're starting to think for yourselves and fight back and go, wait a second. They told me to believe that. They told me I was racist if I didn't believe that. They told me I hated gay people if I didn't believe that. They told me I didn't love my neighbor if I didn't do that. And y'all are finally starting to go, but I'm none of those things. Still don't believe that. And kind of standing in that gap and being okay with it and having the confidence. Of course, as males, they've been after you in a big way too.
White, straight Christian males.
Yeah.
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 What's the saying? You know, hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. I think America experienced such a boom of success, you know, during kind of the boomers generation. And I think that just kind of resulted, you know, we don't have exterior problems. We got to create our own internal problems. And everything is, well, are you a man or a woman? Can men give birth? You know, is, you know, gay marriage, is that actually okay? Can you actually kill your babies? And that created such a hard time, maybe in terms of, you know, we're still living in America. It could be worse, but hard times in terms of just the ideology and the wokeness and the anti-Christianness. I think that is creating the Gen Zers who are going back to God, it's creating such a resolve of, no, actually, I reject that. I'm actually going to go back to God. So I think the hard times in that sense could start a revival, but
yeah,
we'll have to see the fruits of it.
It's almost like y'all's lives were so easy, and it's really our faults as parents. Started with our boomer parents spoiling us, but it's like y'all had to create your own issues.
Yeah.
Because there just weren't any. And I'll tell you, you were like the first. Connor didn't get a cell phone, like a smartphone, until maybe eighth grade or his freshman year. He still had the boop, boop, boop.
The know. iPods?
Yeah. Well, no, he had like where you got to push to send a C, you got to push A, B, C.
Oh, like the black.
The Blackberry. Little slide. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But even next child down 2 years under him, they all had iPhones, smartphones from the beginning. I swear that makes a difference. And
it does.
I need to apologize because as parents, we didn't know how bad it was.
Yeah,
just didn't know.
I had an Apple iPod when I was like in middle school, which is pretty much just a phone that you can't call on. So I think that has a lot of to do with it as well.
We're way over. We got to take a break.
We do.
When we come back. Can we do the Feinbaum Dale Jackson story? Because it's funny.
It's good.
And informative.
It is.
Which we like both. We'll be right back.
Tired of juggling sales tools or spending hours on prospecting just to book a few meetings? Meet Apollo, the go-to-market platform for finding leads, connecting with buyers, and closing deals, all in one place. Apollo gives you access to over 210 million contacts and AI that handles all your busy work, finding leads, drafting emails, and even prioritizing your day. So stop paying for 5 different sales tools when one does it all. Visit apollo.io and sign up free today.